Now, what was he saying? Moses, I am going to give you an understanding of who I am. You will notice something. As soon as God finished speaking, Moses immediately bowed down and offered a prayer. I don't know whether you're following that. Moses instantly bowed down and offered a prayer. Why did he offer a prayer? Because he discovered the nature of God. Let me say something about faith again. Faith is not, I am stubborn in what I have desired and I won't change my mind. Faith is not, I have told God it is this much and I am not going to change my mind. Listen to me, many people are just stubborn. They were stubborn as children. Their father couldn't correct them. Nobody could talk to them. Many people are obstinate. That's the word I'm looking for. They are just obstinate. Once they fix their mind on something, you can't change their minds. Then you teach them about faith. And they say, I am believing God for healing. And what do they mean? I have made up my mind I'm collecting healing. And I'm going to collect it because I'm a stubborn man. Some people will try to explain to them that healing may not be the will of God. And they will refuse to accept, and you will think they have faith. Because it is right for you to refuse to accept somebody telling you that healing is not the will of God. Because they are wrong, actually. Scripture is on your side. But this man doesn't agree, but not for the reason you are thinking of. His reason is what? He's stubborn. He's obstinate. He cannot be corrected. When he's wrong, that's how obstinate he is. It is just like they say, even a bad clock is correct twice a day. You know that?
Yes.
If your clock is not working, two times in a day to give you the correct time. In the same manner, an obstinate man will appear like he has faith a lot of times. If what he's obstinate about actually is in agreement with the word of God. But it is not faith. Is not faith. Faith is not the ability to be stubborn. Faith is not, I am persuaded about what I'm saying. Many people are persuaded about what they are wrong about. What is faith? Please go and listen to our series again. Total Faith. The Pursuit and the Use of Faith. Those two series. I talked about faith there. But let me just bring out something here. Faith is simply a relationship. I don't know whether I get my point. Let's talk about this healing matter. Faith is not, I desire healing. No, that's not what faith is. Faith is, I know God, the Father of the Lord Jesus, and I have read the document he sent to us. And in that document, he said, Jesus died for our healing. Even though I don't appear so obstinate and hard in faith, in the name of Jesus, I believe. No. It's just a simple persuasion. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. Something I know. And that's what faith is. Actually, that thing is a tangible substance in the realm of the spirit. It doesn't say much about whether you are stubborn or you are not. Do you get my point here? Have you noticed that many times people who know something and they are sure of it, they are so calm when you argue with them? They are convinced. They don't even want to answer you. Okay, now if you like it like that, leave it. But the man knows what he's saying. He is so sure of it, not because he knows how to be stubborn, but because he just knows what he's talking about. In the same manner, when I have a relationship with the Lord and I know him very well, it builds a natural faith in my heart. I'm not trying to believe God. I don't know what I get the point here. I just know the character of God, and that knowledge of the character of God produces confidence in my heart. So nobody is trying to persuade me, believe. This believe that somebody is trying to persuade you is actually a result of a gap in knowledge, a gap in the relationship. If you have to come to my wife and explain to her that, no, your husband is not like that. No, that's not what he meant. You know there's a problem in our relationship. Why should you be the one? And most of the time, you know you are lying to her. You are lying. You are just trying to make peace. He said he's going to kill me. He won't kill you. Meanwhile, in your heart, hey, this guy is a real wicked man. Let's move this girl away before he kills somebody. So when they come to you and they're trying to tell you what your husband is like or your wife is like, it shows that the two of you have a wide gap in your relationship. Otherwise, it should be the one that says that, listen, if my husband says he's not coming back, trust him, he won't come back. Persuasion, which is born out of relationship. That is what faith is. If you know God enough, faith is an automatic addition to your life. It is not something you try to get. Somebody is trying to tell you, believe, believe, believe. It's just proving to you that your relationship with him is not strong enough. There's a wide gap in your relationship. I'm going somewhere. What happened to Moses? Once God revealed himself to Moses, suddenly Moses understood the character of God and he brought his prayer point up rapidly. Before, God had said, I won't go with you people and all of that. Then God now said, I am God, the merciful God. He said, in that case, you are going to change your mind about going with us. I don't know whether you get the point. So he said it, he was convinced. So that prayer was, listen to this, a prayer of faith. You cannot pray a prayer of faith if you don't have relationship. You can't pray a prayer of faith if you don't understand God enough. The longer the prayer, the less of him you understand. If you want to make a request to God and you are there for a long time asking and asking and asking, then you don't understand him well enough. You don't understand him well enough. If you did, you will know the right words to speak. Now, what am I talking about here? You will see that what happened to Moses, when he asked the Lord, show me your glory, and said, this guy wants to see my face. And the Lord said, no, 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 no. Then the Lord came with him and gave him a revelation, an understanding, a knowledge of what he really is like. And God understood that that's what Moses wants. Let me give an example. They came to Jesus and said, show us the Father. Philip said, show us the Father. You know what Jesus said? What did Jesus say? That was what he said. Thank you. Jesus, look, what? Show you the Father? You have been with me all this while. You are still asking me to show you the Father. You know what Jesus was saying in effect? It is not the physical structure you see that matters. It is the knowledge of the character of the person that is called seeing the Father. Do you get my point here? So he said, how could you have been with me all this while? You are still saying, show us the Father. You've seen the way I react when things are this way, that's the Father. You've seen the way I talk, that's the Father. You've seen the way I react when there is a storm on the sea, that's the Father. You've seen the way I react with compassion to those who are dead, that they are relatives, that's the Father. You saw what happened when Lazarus was dead, that's the Father. Say, what else do you want to see in the Father that you have not seen in me? What am I saying? When people relate with God, it is not the physical structure of God they end up beholding. It is the nature and the name of God they come to personally understand. And this is what I'm making. When they get to that point, knowledge spiritually is not intellectual information. It is an impartation of supernatural ability. What I mean is this. Now, this looks like a big illustration. But there's a way you will understand the God of creation. You will tell the sun, arise from the other side, not the east this morning. Now, like I said, that's a wild... Are you getting my point? God wouldn't want you to do that. In fact, when you know him enough, you will know not to do that. Because you know you're going to scatter too many things that you now have to control, since you are the one that moved the sun. Now listen, you know Joshua was also like Moses. You know that? We read it just now. Joshua didn't used to leave that presence. He may not have attained to the level Moses attained, but we saw he had that kind of heart. And I'm convinced that was why he looked at the sun and told the sun, stand still, and the sun did. Listen, there's a way you get to know God. That's what I'm trying to explain. That, you know, that also happened that Samuel, any word he uttered, God confirmed. Any word Samuel uttered, God confirmed. Listen, let's read about it. Open to John chapter 17. Now, why did I bring up this matter? This was a drive of a man's heart. Who has seen all kinds of miracles? There was something that this man said some time ago. I went to Benin. He came to Nigeria. What is his name? Benihin said that the 24 elders around the throne will shout, holy, holy, holy. You see in the Revelation, angels will shout, holy, holy, holy. He said, what are they shouting holy for? According to him, that each time they see a side of God they did not know before, they will shout, holy. God will reveal himself in a new way. They will shout, holy. And now he said, what are you talking about? I'll tell you. Please go and listen to our series, The Seven Names of God. We talked about it there. Every time, listen to this carefully. Every time you understand God in an area, you seize control over life in that area. I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. Once, see, knowing God is not, like I told you, forget all this. I know 17 Hebrew names. Those are when we're in school. They talk about the 12 names of God. Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Rofeka, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah, we had about 12 of them. When I began to learn the scripture, I realized that that God doesn't have 12 names. David Pawson said there are 215 names that Jesus alone was described with in the Bible. 250. Here, what did God call himself? The compassionate. One of his names is jealous. If you know the way God's names are, God's name is beginning, that's a name. End, that's a name. Mercy, that's a name. Judge, that's another name. Creator is a name. The God that delights in the prosperity of his servant, that's a name. Not a sentence, that's a name. The God that makes barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children, that's a name. The God that visits iniquity, that's a name. Please, I hope you're getting my point. There are no 12 names. There are no 12 names. There are names of God that this earth cannot receive. And anybody living on it cannot understand. There are names that when you arrive in heaven, you give you through lecture. Now, the name you are going to use for the next 1,000 years is this. So what are you talking about? You guys on earth couldn't comprehend this. This is how we talk to the stars here. When God tells you, move those stars, you don't shout at the stars. Ha, 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 ha. You don't back at the stars. You invoke a name of the Almighty at the stars. That is why they dissolve in your presence. When the Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that's what it means. It doesn't mean, save me, save me, save me, I'm falling. No. There is a name he bears when you're about to fall. Anybody who calls on that name, the Bible says, will be saved. What am I saying? No, one of our brothers said something once. It's such a powerful illustration for what we're talking about. He lives in Abuja. I used to attend a fellowship. I want Christians to take a lesson from this. So he goes to this particular fellowship, okay? And amongst the men in the fellowship, these are men that they want to choose. The president wants to replace the service chiefs. These are retired military men. And the president will call them for a meeting. So that's the fellowship was attending. So he's a young guy, you know. So the young men, the old men, okay, he does all the work, you know. Those are young boys, and the other guys are old men, you know. So he now says something. So this particular man, very influential man, we tell him, oh boy, see me. So maybe he wouldn't go. Why? Because he's busy. So later he will see the man. The man said, I told you, I thought you were supposed to see me last week. The man will say, this young brother will say, sorry, sir. And what happened was that I had to go here, I had to go there, I had to go there. So the man looked at him at one day. He said, what is running up and down that you're running up and down? Do you know if I make a phone call, you get everything you're looking for? The man just looked at this. How can this small boy be foolish like this? He told this guy that, look, what are you looking for running up and down? If I pick my phone and make a phone call, everything you are running to look for, everything will come and meet you. So he was trying to explain to the young man that, look, stop running up and down. If I tell you to see me, you should be rushing to me, not rushing up and down. Even though our brother had a different set of values and all of that, okay, there's a way you apply all of these things. If he asks me, I say, no, don't run to him. Go about your business, okay? I mean, as Christians, we have to be careful. We have to be very, very careful. But it's a perfect illustration about life. Many of the things we're running up and down for, God said, if only you discovered my name in that area, those things will run to you. He said you can learn business principles morning, afternoon, and night. But if I reveal myself as not that you read it in the Bible, but that the Bible became alive to you, and you say, God that giveth the power to get wealth. That's the name. If that name becomes real to you, they will bring wealth to your house. That wealth will wake up in the morning, in quotes, and come to your doorsteps. One of the things I've learned that thing about people running up and down for money. Listen, I was reading, I read Roland Barthes, Angels on Assignment. Then I heard Sadhu Sangha Savaraj, all right? He also said the same thing. He said once he was praying, and he told the Lord that he was praying and they had a vision. And the Lord asked him, what are you looking for? And he was supposed to start a TV station that used to broadcast the gospel. And it's going to cost him, he asked the Lord, maybe it would be like $20 million. So the Lord said, you don't need that much. And he revised everything and said, okay, I'm sorry, it's supposed to be 15 million. And the Lord turned to an angel beside him and said, make sure he gets the money. That is, the angel's job is mobilize funds. I first read that from this man long ago, Roland Barthes, Angels on Assignment. He said, I woke up one night and his house was full of angels. And he said, what is going on? And one of them said, we have come to do warfare for your finances. Do you get my point here? So you realize that money is not who is fast, who is sharp, who is slow, who is... No. There are spiritual forces that control it. So when God wanted to say speak through Moses, he said, it is the Lord that giveth the power to create wealth. That is, there is a way you will see the face of God. God will just tell you something about himself, and that thing becomes your strength. The knowledge of God in spiritual things is not intellectual recognition of things. It's not intellectual information. That is how God delivers spiritual power. You can't pray effectively until you understand God. That's why, listen, it was when I was preaching in Makurdi last Sunday, I said something that has struck me again. That Paul said, I am doing my share in what is lacking in the sacrifice of Jesus. And I was like, what do you mean something is lacking in the sacrifice of Jesus? I've preached from it again and again, but last Sunday just struck me. What was Paul saying? No matter what Jesus has done, if people don't know about it, it doesn't have any value. So what is lacking in sacrifice? Therefore, I labor to inform people about what he has done. What am I going to say? I realize now that my job as a preacher, and if you're a preacher, you're listening to this, note it. Your job is to say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. Many Christians are praying, the prayers have no answer. Why? There's no understanding of God backing it. They are praying for a country that they believe is arranged by chance. Are you getting my point? They are praying for a country that somebody told them was not started by God. They are praying for, so they pray morning, afternoon, and night, and there is no effect. Let me tell you something, in quote, now listen to this. I want to use the word worry now, in quote. I'm not disobeying scripture, but I just want to use the word. You should be worried about what you don't know. What I mean is this. Be worried about the part of God you don't understand. Because that is the area of life where you are powerless. That is the part of life where you are walking blindly. You're walking blindly in that area you don't know. Many times we pray morning, afternoon, and night, but there is no effect. Why? We don't understand God in that area. And listen, that's why God always had to teach people about himself. The revelation of the person of God is what is most important that God is delivering to his people. Look at the way Nigerians were shouting, Southerners shouting about Boko Haram, Islamic headsmen. They were asking for arms, mobilization of arms and all of that. And Christians were joining the shout. There's a way we will kneel down on such matters. Listen, we can fight. Maybe later again we'll talk about when on Tuesdays. We should get back to the matter of fasting and praying for Christians to understand. There's a way you fast and pray. The time in which you consecrate yourself aside and say, Lord, which part of you don't we understand why we are suffering like this? At a point in time, the Lord will just suddenly show himself as the man of war. That is, when that revelation of man of war comes to you, they will say, Islamic herdsmen are coming to attack your village. You will say, please, I'm tired, I need to sleep. When they come, wake me up. That's how you will respond. Why? Because the understanding of Jehovah, the man of war, has hit you. So you wake up and they'll say, hey, there's trouble outside. You just wake up and yawn. He said, Jehovah is a man of war. And he has covered me with his feathers. You go back to sleep. And there is nobody that will be able to enter that household. Spiritual knowledge. Listen. That's what they call revelation. We use the word revelation like, no. When we say revelation, that means that you get so convinced and acquainted with the truth. Do you get what I'm going to say? You are so convinced and acquainted with the truth. When you hear that it is the Lord that giveth the power to get wealth, until you see his face clearly in that area, you won't go to any business school. No, but because many people go to business and they want to go and learn how to make money. You say, no. I will go to a business school to learn how to interact with ignoramuses. But how to make money, I won't learn it from there. And I'm not joking about it. So they say, go to business. You ask them for what now? Why? So that I can run this and no. I can go there to learn the laws of a country because you have to operate within the laws of a particular nation. I can go there to interact with people. I can go there to help. But it's like to go and learn how to do business and make money, you say nonsense. I do that in my bedroom. I do that in my closet. What do you do in your closet? I discover the face of my God. And if he reveals his face to me, that's why I said, when you said, seek my face, I said, you know when God says, seek my face, you know what it means? It doesn't mean I want to see you. It means, oh boy, you are stagnated because of ignorance. When God says, seek my face, it means your troubles are all because of what you don't know. When he says, seek my face, it means you are just running up and down in blindness because there is a part of me you don't understand. So every time there's a problem in your life, he says, seek my face. And the moment David heard that, his body responded to the word of God. I said, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Why is the face? That tells you what Moses was looking for. That's when he took face literal. Lord, where is your face? God said to Moses, if you try that one, you will die. But I know what you want. I know what you really need. What is what you really need? The revelation of my name. So when he says, seek my face, what was he saying to David? Seek the revelation of my name. And I said, Lord, that's what I will pursue. That's why I said, I will enter the sanctuary and meditate until I know what God is called. No, go back there. Psalm what? That's how we began from today. Psalm 27. That's verse 8. He said, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. What was David saying? God, don't hide the knowledge of your character from me. Let me know you for who you are. Don't let me walk around in blindness. I was talking about faith. Faith is not stubborn, an obstinate heart that's made up its mind what he wants. She has made up her mind what she must get. That's not what faith is. Faith is that when I understand God. Listen. When Elisha was on the mountain, and the soldiers surrounded the mountain, and the servant was running up and down, and Elisha was not perturbed, do you think it was because he had faith? I don't know what I get my point. He had that kind of faith. I don't know what I mean by that kind of faith. And just stubbornly, I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. Why should I be afraid? Am I not a man of God? No, that was not what happened. What happened when they said soldiers are around? One of two things must have happened. One, either he understood that the angels were around him from experience, from different encounters, or from a word God had given him, or he saw them. One of two things. His servant was disturbed because of lack of knowledge. His servant was not disturbed because he liked to be disturbed. It was simply because he did not know what his master knew. Do you get the point?
Yes.
So how did the master save it? Save the situation. He prayed to the Lord. Lord, let me just paraphrase now. Lord, show him your face. Okay. Do you get my point here?
Yes.
He said, Lord, open his eyes. The man's eyes were open, and he saw chariots all around the mountain. So did he continue to be afraid?
No.
What happened? He calmed down. Instantly, he calmed down. Do you know if at that point in time you arrested them and took them away, they would not be afraid? Yes, because the soldiers still came up. What I'm trying to say is that the soldiers did not, they were not killed. Elisha just came to them. Who are you looking for? The angels, they have different manifestations. What happened that they blinded them, they saw Elisha and did not recognize him. I can imagine his servant was following him gladly. Who are you looking for? God said, who are you looking for? You know the way we do. Elisha said, who do you seek? He said, oh, God said, who do you seek? You know, they deaf. Why was all that braggado? What he had what? Seen. None of these noise I've been making and praying and shouting. We have seen nothing. That's every little noise we are disturbed. Dollar is 500, we are disturbed. If it gets to 1,000, a man will just die in this country. We are disturbed. Every little calamity, we are disturbed. Every little negative news you hear, you are disturbed. It's those who think that it's human beings that are ruling, that it just, you know, they are afraid of every little thing. But those who know who the real ruler is, they are not afraid. If at that point in time you arrested Elisha and his servant, they would not have been afraid anymore. They just know that there must be a reason why God is allowing them to take us. But of course, what did God do? He blinded those men. That was a manifestation of angelic presence. He took them to the midst of Samaria. They did not even know they were in the midst of enemy territory. And they got to the king of Israel, the northern tribes of Israel. And they said, ah, of course, the king was surprised. What is going on here? He said, these are the men. He said, my master, should I kill them? Eh? He said, kill them. Even when you capture prisoners of war, do you kill them? He said, no. This one that have not come to you peacefully, you now want to kill them. What do I do? Give them food. So they prepared the table before them in the presence of their enemies. Thank God those guys were not Pentecostals in Nigeria. You know what would have happened? They would have died by fire. But of course, they did not die. What happened? They prepared a table before them. They ate, they drank, and they went back home and reported what happened. After that, the Syrians never, they did not come back. Listen, there's a way God will deliver you. Enemies won't come back again. Amen. When the so-called Islamic headsmen are coming, when they are coming, they will bring gifts. Say, please, oh, we want to eat. Our cattle want to graze from here to there. Where is the Igwe? Do you want two cattle? How many do you want? They will dash him cattle. They will come there and shake hands and laugh. And the country will be very peaceful. Amen. That's what happens when God reveals his face. Do you get my point here?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what happens when God reveals his face. Let's read this particular scripture and I can close. John chapter 17. Remember I said I want to talk about what? The pursuit of eternal life. And that's what I've been talking about. John chapter 17. Look at the way the Lord Jesus prayed. That is verse 1. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all you have given him, he may give eternal life. God wants to give eternal life to us, so he put eternal life in Christ Jesus, and Jesus came to give us eternal life. And then he now said, what is eternal life? Verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's all I want to read. Let me just read that one in the New Living Translation, verse 3. He said, this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. What is the way of eternal life? Is to know God. What is the way of receiving eternal life? It is to have the revelation of God in your face all the time. God is vast. Somebody say amen. You cannot fully know him completely. But each time, in an area that you need life, he reveals himself. For that reason, what do we pursue? That knowledge of God. This is the kind of knowledge that comes. Please, let me introduce this and I close with it. I need to talk about the opening of the inner ears now again. I talked about it briefly before. This is not the kind of knowledge that comes because you have a PhD in theology. There are many people that have read the Bible up and down, yet their ears are dull. Their eyes have been blinded. They cannot see eternal life. Are you getting my point here? It is possible to know the scripture, the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelations. You can recite it off head and not understand the Lord. It is possible. The Pharisees knew this, all the scriptures about the Messiah. When the Messiah arrived, they killed him. So please, be afraid of natural knowledge. It's terrible. These people knew. They said, where would the Messiah be born? Were they not the ones that Herod called? And they told Herod, this was going to happen. They knew the scriptures concerning those things. Yet when the Messiah manifested himself, they were the champions of kill him. As a body, they did not believe. Few of them recognized him. That's why I talk about opening the inner ears. Because there are two levels to perception. There is a first level in which you understand the letters. But there's a second level in which God now causes those letters to make meaning spiritually to you. That second one is a gift. It is not the number of times you read the Bible, even though that may open you up for the gift. It's not the number of hours you listen to a message, even though that may cooperate in opening you up for the gift. But that one is a gift that God imparts into your life. What I'm talking about today is when you show him that you value it. I like one thing Bishop Oyedepo will say. He said, your sense of value determines the flow of virtue to you. And that is where most people don't get it. A man wants a visa to go abroad because he believes that prosperity is in America. He believes that prosperity is in Canada. He believes that prosperity is in Europe, somewhere, you know, Great Britain. For that reason, he starts laboring. Today, he starts reading, assuming he's a professional, for their exams. He starts doing everything to prepare himself to get a visa. He's laboring for a visa that Donald Trump can wake up tomorrow and cancel. Do you get my point? That is, it perishes. But there is one. Jesus said, labor for the one that endures to what? To endure to what? No, I didn't hear you well. Labor for the food that does what? Endure to eternal life. That is labor to understand God. What is the way of eternal life? To know God. So what was Jesus saying? It takes labor. I don't know whether you caught that. That is, they found that Jesus was going somewhere. What did they do? They entered boats and went to overtake him. So he said, this is labor. He said, but for what? For food. He said, no, you should have used this labor to go after knowledge. That's where we are going. That is, listen, I am convinced more than ever before that the power of God is not manifested. There are two steps. One, because we don't believe. But why don't we believe? Because our ears are deadened. We don't have knowledge. We don't have understanding. We don't understand the face of God. So we are not able to kindle our faith to draw his power down. Listen, the Bible says something like this, that God hides sound wisdom for the upright. Are you getting my point? Yeah. But my emphasis is hide. Listen, God said to David, seek my face. What did David say? Your face, O Lord, will I do what? Will I seek? That is, God does not come up showing his face. I don't know whether I get my point. He doesn't come showing his face. He will tell it to you, you need to seek my face. And he came to tell you that. Why didn't you just show me your face? God said, no. You need to display your sense of value. I'll talk about it later. There are many things. Look, there was a time when God wanted to try me on something. And it worked. I've been complaining. I needed kinetic messages. I needed messages. I needed messages. So one day I went online and I'm like, what is all of this? If I need a good wristwatch, I pay good money for it. You know, everybody looking for something that is free. And Pastor Banky has joined to spoil Christians. Somebody said worldwide. Now, I don't regret what we do. In fact, I got a mail from Kenya just about 2 days ago. The man said, look, our true service of God series, said the thing for him has been a tremendous blessing. He said that you made it available for free download. I am humbled. That was from Mombasa, Kenya. So I'm happy. I'm very happy. And I believe me, I have no regrets. No regrets. None whatsoever. What are we selling? What are we selling? What are we selling? What are we selling? Why should I sell it? Okay, so that I'm not even talking about me. All right? But I want to talk about something. So there was a time, anytime you go there, you need Kenhagi messages. Pay money. So one day I asked myself, Banky, what's your problem? Do you want the messages or you don't? I said, I want it. Then pay the money. So I gathered Kenhagi messages and Jack Hayford messages. And I called my friend in the U.S., please. I tried to pay from Nigeria. It didn't work. So I called him, pay for me. Now, I can't remember the cost. Whether it was $50,000 for Kenhagen and $50,000 for Jack Hayford or $50,000 for both of them, I can't remember. So it was either $50,000 or $100,000 I paid. And how many messages? How many? Please just help me gather them and send. So he gathered them for me and sent to Nigeria. When God saw that, he said, Banky, now I know you are serious. Then Chima walked in and gave me all the Kenhagen messages Kenhagen ever preached. Free of charge. Can you see? But I'm sure the Lord just waited and said, you've been running. I said, wait, Banky, all this one you are saying. Did I give you money? Yes. If it is shoe you want to buy, will you pay? Yes. In fact, forget shoe. If you're a car, won't you buy it? Yes, you will buy it. So why would you not be willing to pay money for it? Thank God for people that make it free. Thank God for the Roman road. But sometimes God just demands, show me your sense of value. The word will not always come to you convenient. That's why I have never, there are things I don't do. Sometimes you come for Bible study, me Bible study is not full. I said, where's everybody? They said, UEFA Cup final. I just stopped short of saying anybody that missed Bible study to watch that cup may his prosperity be postponed for 6 years. I almost say it because it is the most stupid thing on earth that a Christian can do. What is in cup football? 22 overpaid adults and their equally overpaid coach running up and down after a ball, which they have been doing forever. And you will miss where God says, seek my face. No, let's not be silly. Let me end my message here. Listen, we must do what? Pursue eternal life. Listen, Christians, time to learn to wake up when everywhere is quiet. Time to learn to take a holiday. 2 weeks, you're not doing WhatsApp chat, you ain't doing Facebook, and say, Lord, I have come to seek your face. Listen, many of the things you are afraid of in life is because the face of God is hidden in that area. Honestly, tell Elisha, we are going to Sambisa Forest. Do you think he'll be afraid? Why? He will remember the chariots that surrounded the mountain. Tell his servant, go with your master. After that experience, he wouldn't be afraid. Does it mean they will not die there? We don't know. But if they die there, they will know that God said time to die here. But do you know the truth about life? If God called you and said, oh boy, tomorrow I'm going to kill you, you won't be afraid. Once you're sure it's the one. What you don't want is this accidental day. Just die. Nobody's expecting you to die. Just die. Those are the ones. If God said tomorrow, you are going. You know what he will do? Lord, can I make some requests? For my wife, this. For my children, this. For this work, this. For this work, this. All the things I want you to do for us. And if you are sure it's God, the Father of the Lord Jesus, believe me, there will be no one iota of fear in your life. There will not be one iota of fear. Go and read the story of Moses and Aaron. God told them, you bring Aaron before me. Remove his garments. He will die when you do that. When he got there, Moses said, oh, yeah, Aaron, give it to me. He removed the garment of Aaron. Aaron dropped dead. There's a way you handle that. Look, listen. A true believer that has seen the face of God is not afraid of death. It can't be. I don't know whether I get my point. Imagine they are stoning you to death and God is showing you visions of heaven. I don't know whether you get my point. That's who? Stephen. Stephen afraid of death. Which kind of death fear is that one? I'm seeing the Lord Jesus. I have just seen that this, at that point in time, I hope you understand. At that point in time, everything physical looks empty. All the big houses, they look empty. The temple looks empty. Once you see the face of Jesus, every other thing will lose value. Let me stop it here. I hope you learned something today. We'll continue on the pursuit of eternal life next time. Let's bow down our heads. Say, Lord, thank you for that dose of eternal life you have placed inside me. If you're blessed today, give me an amen.
Amen.
Tell somebody, say, seek his face.
That is where it is.
Seek his face.
That is where it is.
Say, all the solutions,
they are in his face.
All the solutions
to every challenges of life,
they are in his face.
Say, seek his face.
Take the time
to seek his face.
Let's just give the Lord thanks now. And we'll say, Lord, we thank you.
I declare to you that the face of God will be clear to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen. I like that blessing that God gave Moses to give the children of Israel. He said, say to Aaron and his sons, thus you will bless the children of Israel, and I'm blessing you with it. The Lord will bless you and keep you.
Amen.
The Lord will make his face shine upon you, and he will be gracious unto you.
Amen.
That's why I remember it. He will make that face shine upon you, and he will be gracious unto you.
Amen.
He will make his face clear to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Confusion will not be your portion.
Amen.
I said confusion will not be your portion.
Amen.
In the time of affliction, you will see the chariots of God.
Amen.
They will surround your bed.
Amen.
They will surround your house.
Amen.
They will surround your estate.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the time of lack, you will see the angels of God making warfare for your finances.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God will go home with you.
Amen.
Remember, when you get home, say to your house, peace be upon this house. And I say to you, the God of peace will dwell there.
Amen.
He will manifest himself there.
Amen.
Don't enter your house and be making noise about who left this open. No. As soon as you get there, first words are what?
Peace
be upon this home. And I say to you again, the God of peace will dwell there.
Amen.
No, I didn't just say the peace of God. I said what?
The God of peace,
he will dwell there.
Amen.
And he will manifest himself to you.
Amen.
This coming week, as you travel, goodness will go with you.
Amen.
And protection will return with you.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
There are these things they said, send this around. The armed robbers are killing people. Don't send such things around. You are killing faith. When you get such things, declare the word of God. That I am protected by the Almighty. He is surrounding me by himself and keeping me from all trouble. Say, my father is a God, the man of war. These are the ways you respond. And he will manifest to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
If a man points a gun at you point blank, repeat it. My father is a man of war. No weapon that is fashioned against me will prosper.
Amen.
And I speak to you, it will not prosper.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The protection of God will go with you.
Amen.
Listen, life is not an accident. Your father is in charge. And I declare that the protection of God will go with you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We give him praise. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Come on, let's share the grace in fellowship. 1, 2, let's go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now bless somebody.
This is your season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus.
Bless somebody else.
This is your season of multiplication and dominion.
Now personalize it. This is my season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus. All right, cheer up, brethren.
One.